You are listening to the WEI Network. The content and opinions of the following show are solely those of their show hosts. The WEI Network, its staff, and its affiliates are not responsible for its content. Any questions or comments should be made directly to those show hosts. Thanks for listening to the WEI Network.
Everybody, welcome, welcome. Time for Peter's Living Room. How are you all? I got to tell you, everybody turned their clocks back this past weekend. I haven't adjusted to it. I woke up at 4:30 this morning wide awake, and it was like, damn, I'm going to be exhausted. Well, I'm not exhausted, but I would rather have slept an extra hour, hour and a half anyway. But again, good evening to you all. It was a brisk weekend down here in South Florida, and sounds like it was in most places. And, oh, my God, I spoke to people up in Maine over a foot of snow. I was conversing with a friend of mine in the Carolinas, a foot of snow. What the heck is going on? Well, the beauty of it is it may have been 49 on Saturday and 56 last night. It's going back up into the 80s, everybody. So to all my friends up north and in the northern, in the plains, get your airline tickets now. Anyway, if you've been following what's going on here, it's coming in. It's the week coming into the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival on the 7th through the 23rd. More information about it, go to FLIFF, F-L-I-F-F, that's FLIFF.com. Get a whole schedule, all the shows, and as they say, take a vacation from the ordinary. Take a vacation from ordinary film. A lot of great independents. Opening night, Achievement Award going to Jason Alexander. That's right, George Costanza, among many other roles, and he's in a new movie, musical comedy. Should be a great way to start the film festival. And closing weekend on the 22nd, 23rd, they're honoring George Hamilton. You know, that guy with the tan? Well, he's going to be there when they're going to do an expose on some of his career on the 22nd and the 23rd. He's going to do a sit-down meet-and-greet and like a montage of all his film, answering questions from the audience, whatever. Tonight, in a few minutes, we are going to have Brandon Walter and Cassie Brown from Gone Doggy Gone, which has been winning awards all over the country in different festivals. And their movie will be playing at least four times that I know of in the film festival. And then we're going to talk with the writer, director, producer of a short film, but it's called Only a Cigar. We'll talk about that film later on in the show. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to use modern technology to hook us up with the filmmakers from Gone Doggy Gone. So don't go away. Stay with us. It'll just be a minute or so, and we will have our filmmakers with us. Peter's Living Room, the World Entertainment Information Network. We'll be right back.
The WEI Network is the world's entertainment and information network. Talk radio and entertainment from prominent individuals and business owners, as well as national and local celebrities. Plus, live interviews and broadcasting of events. Do you need a marketing and promotions for your next business or organization? Contact the WEI Network at 561-290-4597 or email us at inquiries@weinetwork.com.
Business in the western communities of Palm Beach County, you should check out the Western Business Alliance. The Alliance is committed to strengthening and supporting their members through economic growth, education, and community awareness. The purpose of the
Alliance, can you hear me?
Is to create a social environment where
all right, great. You must be Cassie.
Each other in a relaxed atmosphere.
Casey, I'm sorry,
they
and Brandon.
Tools through education
that's okay. Give me a minute. I'm just on a commercial. We're going to come back, and I'm going to plug you in.
And offer positive,
I've got questions for you.
Welcoming, flexible organizational environment.
Different kind of different movie. I enjoyed it. Unfortunately, I put it on pause about 2/3. I don't know the ending. And when I went back, it wouldn't replay. And then the password was no good. It wasn't either. But I got the dog. I got
Hi,
the whole story.
Peter's Living Room. I can be heard right here on the WEI Network every Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Interviews and live performances by singers, bands, comedians, thespians, and more. Local, national, and international celebrities join me for an hour of entertaining you. Like us on Facebook.com/
About 15 seconds.
Radio and Event Entertainment. Log on to WEINetwork.com at 7 p.m. Monday through Thursdays and hear the Ed Sullivan of Radio bringing entertainment to you straight from Peter's living room.
All right, we're back, everybody. It's Peter's Living Room on the World Entertainment Information Network. And as stated, we have, let's see, the director, the producer, the writer. You guys pretty much did it all, right? You there? Hang on. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Can you hear us?
All right, perfect. Modern technology, gotta love it. Gone Doggy Gone. We'll be playing at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. You guys have been winning awards throughout festivals all over the country. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Casey Brown, Brandon Walter. Walter or Walters?
Walter.
And as I said, winning awards all over. We've got the Audience Award at the Julian DeBoot International Film Festival. Best of the Fest at the First Glance Film Festival. Audience Favorite also at First Glance. Let me see, the Lighthouse International Film Festival, you were selected. Fort Lauderdale International Film. I got to tell you, I started watching this movie and laughing because I know people just like them.
Yeah, that we hear that all the time. It's really wonderful to know that it's touching people in such a common way. There's a universality about how every dog, every person treats their animal. And either you are on the side of treating your dog like a baby, or you know somebody who treats their dog like a baby.
Yeah. I mean, knock on wood. I don't want to give the whole story away. I'll give you the freedom to talk as much about the storyline as you would, you know, feel comfortable with. But it doesn't matter. Here it's a, I don't know, what are they, 30-ish couple, I guess, in the movie?
Yeah.
30-something. It doesn't matter the age, whether, you know, you're college age or you're a baby boomer or a senior. Actually, maybe more so with some of the seniors.
but emptiness syndrome.
The emptiness syndrome. But I'm going to let, you know, you explain. This is a story about a couple, childless couple, who I guess their baby was the dog.
Yeah, so we basically, it's a comedy, and it basically explores all sorts of kidnapping movies, except for the child that's kidnapped is a dog. So it's a bit of a satire. It's a bit of a relationship movie as well, and it kind of questions how do people use animals to avoid dealing with their own issues. So that's where the comedy lies for us.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, I got a big chuckle out of the scene, I guess, when the female cop came over and they were talking about the kidnapping, and then she says, it's a Yorkie?
So we like to like kind of set it up like everything in it is realistic as if it was a child, and yet it's a dog in this situation.
Right. Now, it's not autobiographical, is it?
Oh, no. Well, the dog in the movie is my dog,
okay.
Layla.
Yeah.
She is my dog, so that's true, but I don't dress her in clothes.
No. And you don't – okay.
And we're not married.
And we're not married.
Okay. Now, but Where did you come up? Is it just people, friends of yours, or people that you've observed, and you said, you know, this is so ridiculous, it would make such a great, great story?
Yes. There is actually a bit of truth to the story in that my dog sitter, who also was called Jill, like the dog sitter in the movie, used to start taking Layla to the movies and to her waxing appointments and out with her friends for lunch and calling her her BFF. And she started to bring my dog home later and later. And I called Brandon to talk about something else, and I happened to mention it. And he said, what if Jill just never brings your dog back? So that was the seed of the idea for what if someone took the thing you love most and right. ran away with it, and then, yeah, and then kidnapping yeah. movies.
That's right.
That's great. Now, this isn't your first film.
It is our first film.
It is your first film. Okay, and have you worked on other projects together, or is this the first time you collaborated? And,
Casey and I we're working on a sketch comedy show called Mother Proof Comedy. You can go to the website and check it out, actually. And we were doing that for about 3 years. We met at Upright Citizens Brigade, which is an improv troupe or class out here in Los Angeles. And we just got along really well and started writing sketches and started shooting a bunch of sketches.
And editing them ourselves doing all the jobs you have to do for
all DIY, taking forever to do one sketch, you know, like a month to do a 5-minute sketch. And then we got sick of it. We're like, no one's looking at these sketches. Let's just go make a movie. I came to L.A. to make movies, not sketches. So she told me this story about her babysitter one night. I'm like, let's make this movie. Yeah. Let's just do it.
That's great. That's great. And first of all, gee, an improv group in L.A.? Who would have ever thought, you know?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's really it's great. How long did it take you from start to finish to actually get this edited and into the festivals from when you decided your babysitter may, you know, not come home with your dog?
Well, it took about 6 months to write the script because we really like to do a very thorough job with that because that's your building block. And then it's all told, it was about 2.5 years of work from pre-production. The shoot days were 18 shoot days on paper, and then four pickup days?
Yeah,
four days of doing more scenes we didn't have time to do or picking up little shots we needed. And then editing, we shot it in April, and then we started editing May.
And the May or early July. Yeah.
Until the fall last year. So, 2.5 years.
And we're still working on it
today.
We are recutting a trailer for the American
Foreign Market.
AFM, American Film Market.
I can understand that it would drive me crazy, by the way. You're there and you're editing however many, 100 hours worth of shooting into an hour and a half, basically.
And
that would drive me crazy. But it's a labor of love. It's a piece of art. It really is a piece of art. And true artists, it's never finished.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That's why I'm sitting here in dirty sweatpants. So that, you know, that makes me happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, it really is. Did you early on when you were in post-production or something know that you were going to go the festival route with it?
Our intention was always to go to festivals. And actually, when you shoot an indie movie, you should know what festival you are aiming for know your shoot date, how much time you have to edit the movie and get it prepared, get a color time, get a sound mix and send it off to the festival.
So you back yourself date-wise out of that. The best festival you think for your film that you want to try and get into.
Right.
All right. Very cool. Well, I do know that you're coming to South Florida.
Yes.
Right.
The land where the ground doesn't shake and, you know, it's a balmy 80 degrees. Well, you have great weather also. So.
Our water's cold, though.
No water. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, but you know what? She is right.
We're going to have a big drought. Yeah.
I want you to know I was in San Diego the first weekend in August. My brother had gotten married, and we were there, his family and friends. Hadn't rained in 6 months. I was there for 4 days. It rained for 2.5 days.
Well, come back. We need more.
Yeah, we need more.
Didn't you just had floods somewhere around L.A. also.
one day.
Last night.
Yeah. You just one day, yeah.
Well, anyway, so you're coming in, and I believe your film is screening the 22nd and 23rd. Do I have that right?
That's right. It's Saturday, November 22nd at Cinema Paradiso, Fort Lauderdale at 5 p.m.
Right.
And Sunday, November 23rd at 2 p.m. at Cinema Paradiso, right. Hollywood.
Right. There's also, I think it's, is it the one in Hollywood that a portion of the proceeds are going to the Humane Society?
That is correct. We always try and team up with the Humane Society in whatever city we go to because we want to, you know, see if we can give something back.
No, that's a good thing. I applaud you for that. You mentioned all the information about you on your website. What's your website?
GoneDoggyGone.com. And doggy spelt with a Y, not an I-E.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And will that site lead to, if you have any other projects or other information about the
Absolutely.
Two of you and your productions?
Yes, you can join our mailing list there if you want more information on what we're doing. Okay. You can also see where we will be screening in other cities. And when our movie is out on DVD and Netflix, you will be able to find out there so you can recommend it to your friends and family, which is one of the only ways that indie films get seen.
Right.
So it's important to us.
Right. And again, you know, I don't want your heads to swell too much. Needless to say, I see a lot of indie films, and I see the films that are made on a, you know, $2,000 Visa card, and some directors or producers that do a lot of big studio work that, you know, that affords them the time and the money to actually go and produce a an indie film, you know. Actually, Steven Bernstein. I think he did Waterboy and a few other things. He said what the big commercial films do is give him that opportunity to go back and make films for the reason he got into the business to begin with. You know, that business, big corporate stuff is taken out of the picture, and you can get back to the art of making films.
Right.
And your movie, you could see time, effort, and money went into it. It's nice production. It's not a $2,000 Visa card movie is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you. I'm glad you could appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we should let people know, now, just a little bit more. The story is about a childless couple. They really seem to have lost a spark in their life, the reason they got together. Their dog gets kidnapped. It is a comedy. And it's the escapades and the people that they come in contact with trying to get their dog back. And the effect that it has, what it does to their relationship and their marriage too. Right?
Beautifully said.
Beautifully said. I'm speechless. I mean, it's so nice to have someone else recap our movie. Yeah. It's wonderful.
All right. I look forward to seeing you. You're coming in just for that weekend or you're coming in a little earlier?
We have to only come in for that weekend because we'll be at Napa Film Festival right before that. So we're literally going straight there to see you guys.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to miss you. I think I'm going to be in Cozumel that weekend.
Oh, poor
so,
you.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to get. Yeah, right. And I'm taking a bomb. I'm cruising there. So
nice.
I'm going to be relaxed.
That's nice.
Hopefully we'll get to meet another time, either here or when I'm out on the other coast.
That'd be great.
I thank you for spending some time. Good luck with the film. Good luck in the film festival. Travel safely.
Thanks.
And it was a pleasure.
Thank
pleasure
you.
Meeting
thank
you.
Thank you for
you
having
so
us.
Much.
We appreciate it.
You take care.
Hey, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So pretty cool. Gone, doggy, gone. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got an interview with Gordon Smith, who has a movie in the festival, a short, and it's called Just a Cigar. Stay with us, everybody. You're listening to Peter's Living Room right here on the World Entertainment and Information Network.
The WEI Network is the world's entertainment and information network. Talk radio and entertainment from prominent individuals and business owners, as well as national and local celebrities. Plus, live interviews and broadcasting of events. Do you need a marketing and promotions for your next business or organization? Contact the WEI Network at 561-290-4597 or email us at inquiries@weinetwork.com.
If you're looking to do business in the western communities of Palm Beach County, you should check out the Western Business Alliance. The Alliance is committed to strengthening and supporting their members through economic growth, education, and community awareness. The purpose of the Alliance is to create a social environment where business people can enjoy getting to know each other in a relaxed atmosphere. They provide the tools through educational programs to help their members grow and prosper. They foster strategic alliances within the membership and offer a positive, stress-free, welcoming, flexible organizational environment. While you're online, check them out at thewesternbusinessalliance.com.
Hi, this is Peter from Peter's Living Room. I can be heard right here on the WEI Network every Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Interviews and live performances by singers, bands, comedians, thespians, and more. Local, national, and international celebrities join me for an hour of entertaining you. Like us on Facebook.com/Peter's Living Room Radio and Event Entertainment. Log on to WEINetwork.com at 7 p.m. Monday through Thursdays and hear the Ed Sullivan of Radio bringing entertainment to you straight from Peter's living room. All right, everybody, we're here in Peter's living room. And as our regular listeners know, it's festival time here in South Florida, and the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival starts November 7th. And we've been talking with the filmmakers, and we will be for the next 2 weeks. And I have with me right now Gordon Smith, who is the director of a short film called Just a Cigar. How are you, Gordon?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks.
Good, good. Well, needless to say, even though you're not here yet, welcome to Florida. And as I know, as we spoke, you do have some ties down here. You have spent time here. But I have to tell you, when I read the little synopsis of your film,
yeah,
I couldn't wait to actually screen it, because the morals and the censorship from days gone by to what they are today. I mean, even George Carlin, you can use his seven dirty words nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But for our listeners, Gordon has a film. It's called Just a Cigar. And basically what it does is it takes a look at the cinema from the 30s through the late 60s and how the filmmakers, directors and writers, actually got around the, well, what you couldn't do sexually or explicitly in the cinema, right?
Right. This was roughly the censorship period, the decades in which American film was under the most stringent censorship, from the enforcement of the Hays Code 1934 to about the late 60s, when each taboo just eventually all went away by the end of that decade and by the beginning of the 70s. And we found clips in my documentary. The latest ones, the last ones, is from 1967. By the 1 year later, the motion picture ratings were in effect.
Right.
By 1968, November of 60, fall of 68, and after that point, they could largely do what they wanted. They weren't trying to hide it anymore. They weren't trying to send some hidden signals by that time.
As long as they gave it the appropriate rating.
Right.
Now, I have to ask you, I don't know how old you are. I remember when that came into effect, and I actually remember, you know, being a teenager and in my early 20s, where they would actually, if you weren't 17, they wouldn't let you into the movies. Even if you were with an adult or somebody over 17. I think today's day and age, they kind of loosen that up. At least the theater itself has loosened that up.
Yeah, they, with the advent of all the other windows, home video and internet, and, you know, kids see just about anything now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There's not much to stop them from seeing anything, which is kind of, you know, a sobering thought. As to what kids are seeing, whereas in our day, you know, when you're 15 or 16, you were trying to sneak into R-rated movies, hoping you were going to see some. I think the first one I ever did snuck into was Woodstock.
You just wanted to see them naked and in the mud.
Right. Yeah. And, yeah, that was an eye-opener.
Well, what was it? Now you've done documentaries before. You've done stuff in this vein. What was it that made you say, "Gee, you know what? I'm going to put something together to show people what it used to be like"?
Well, it was in the very beginning of the summer. Me and some friends went to a screening of the Maltese Falcon here in Dallas, where I'm calling from right now.
Yeah.
There is a famous shot in the Maltese Falcon, and it's in my film, so...
With Peter Lorre.
I'm not going into a lot of detail on it. You'll see it, but it has to do with Peter Lorre and a rather odd-looking cane that he carries
yes.
in the film, and what he does with it while he's having a... being interviewed by Humphrey Bogart as Detective Sam Spade in the Maltese Falcon.
Right.
And this has been much discussed over the years. I'm not the first person to think of any of the examples that are in my film, but I don't think anybody had ever put them all together before. And I was discussing with these buddies whether that shot was intentional, and we all agreed, yeah, of course it is. And and numerous other, we came up with numerous other examples from films 30s, 40s, 50s, up into the 60s of, like that. And I said, you know, I've always wanted to put a bunch of those together. I have done lots of work in the way of film history, film preservation. I worked with a lot of film festivals, including Fort Lauderdale Festival. And I decided, you know, I don't think anybody has put a whole bunch of these. There's a lot of documentaries about the pre-code era from the early 30s, the things that were going on there. Not many about the post-code era.
Yeah.
I mean, what they were doing under those censorship regulations to kind of get some ideas across to the viewer that they knew everybody wasn't going to pick up on, but a lot of people would. And some of them, whether they were visual symbols or verbal symbols, things in lines of dialogue that when they were written out on a script submitted to the censor didn't sound like anything, but once the director and actor gave it their own spin, suddenly took on a whole new meaning.
Oh, sure, the intonation, the body language, the visual, definitely the visual. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, okay, go back to, you know, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, pre-war time. I don't want to say it was a Victorian thing, but, you know, women wore dresses down to the ground. They couldn't show their knee or their calf. And then you've had people like Mae West or Sophie Tucker, but more like Mae West. You talk about innuendos and suggestive dialogue.
Yes, exactly. And once again, when the Hays Code went into effect in 1934, what she could do in her films before that was a lot different than what they would let her do afterwards.
Right.
So, and that was something of the end of her film career. It didn't end at 34, but it was her most significant stuff was made before that.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. I do like that you put Some Like It Hot in your film. Because what I can think of, as far as, you know, commercial hit and awareness, that was probably one of the first movies where the stars dressed up like women, you know, the cross-dressed.
Yeah. Well, not for the, yeah, for the entire film, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there was certainly, you know, old-school comics going in drag was nothing new, but not to that extent, not with two guys.
Right.
Being the plot of the whole movie and the obvious sexual implications of what they're doing and in relation to Marilyn Monroe character, the scene that I have used from that, and the whole movie is just, you know, one big, you know, double entendre for the whole thing practically,
right.
But I used a very specific clip that contains both some verbal and visual
right.
Metaphors, let's say, between Jack Lemmon and Joey Brown.
Right, and it was the perfect scene. It was definitely the perfect scene to put in there.
Yeah.
Without
a doubt. You've seen my film.
Yes, yes. I got to see it. And, you know, I was watching it, and, you know, I don't want to give away the clips that are in there, but I do want people to realize that there's a whole series of clips from movies that you've known through the years showing, you know what, you don't have to say the word, you don't have to say the act, just the innuendo and the body language, you know, the
right.
visual of the characters. And I'd be very surprised if, you know, one of the directors or the filmmaker would come out and say, oh, we never intended anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
yeah. You know?
Right.
And I would think you could actually have done this and made it a full-length documentary.
Well, I'll tell you something. Everybody who has seen it has said that, and I'm working on that very idea. I had only a short amount of time to get it ready for its first showing here in Dallas, and I put that together in less than a month.
Oh, all right.
So I am, there are numerous other examples that, with more time, I could have put in there, and I will at some point. So, yeah, I'm definitely thinking of that. I did a similar film a few years back that was about, not about sexual metaphors in films, but it was devoted to science fiction films of the 50s and just some of the really oddball political and scientific concepts they had.
Right.
That screenwriters just kind of pulled out of thin air that are some of which pretty laughable now, but a few of them, yeah, did have to do with some 50s-style sexual attitudes that were being
yeah.
translated into science fiction plots, but and some people have suggested to me I could just do a whole little offbeat film history series like that. I'm really thinking about that. There's
right. Well, I would love to see if it was a full length. I would love to see, of course, the clips. But if there were any old-time directors or writers talking about exactly what they were trying to portray, you know, bring it to the forefront. Tell us what you were thinking. Tell us what you were doing, you know?
I think the only director represented in that who's still alive is Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah. Oh, and I have to tell you, I had never seen that movie. I know which movie it was, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, boy, is this a cartoon of, like, women's organs, you know, or women's parts?
The Francis Ford Coppola clip?
Yeah, yeah, that alien figure.
That'll be on the Sun. His first film in that. He was assigned by Roger Corman to take some effects footage from a Russian-Soviet sci-fi epic, shoot some new scenes, and pass it off as an American film.
That's funny.
And he definitely shot the, he and another famous B-movie director, Jack Hill, shot the battle between these two rather suspicious-looking giant space monsters.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It's
and added
funny.
Some other stuff. And Coppola's credit on the original release of the film, which went out to the drive-ins, you know, was he made up the name Thomas Colchard.
Yeah.
But it's him. And, you know, Corman started several big directors that way by giving him footage from other films from two or three different Soviet sci-fi movies and having them form something he could exploit to the American market where they had new footage. Peter Bogdanovich was the same. He did one of the same kind of thing with another film. But, yeah, that and that's an example where the director put that in as just a big in-joke.
Right.
Kind of a wink and a nod. Just kind of see who was paying attention.
All right. So how did you come up with the name of the film, Just a Cigar?
Well, it's based on a famous quote by Sigmund Freud.
Okay.
A quote that now there's some doubt cast upon whether he ever actually said it, but which goes something like, in the discussion of phallic symbols, in dreams, you know, and his work was all about dreams.
Right.
He said something like, well, you know, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. And so the subtitle of mine is, and sometimes not. Maybe not.
Right.
I actually thought of putting a subtitle of mine to my film that went something like this, or hidden sexual metaphors in 14 Hollywood classics and 2 cartoons you never noticed before.
All right, cool. Well, the film's it's part of the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. It's going to screen, I believe, November 8th and 10th.
That's right, yep.
And you're going to be here for both or either of the screenings?
I actually will not be there until the second weekend of the fest.
Okay.
And I have been in discussion with them. I think there is a possibility they will show it a third time during that weekend.
Yeah, just give them a little kick and say, come on, I'm here now.
Right. I do other work for the festival as well. I produce the tribute reels.
Uh-huh.
That they show during the festival when they hand out honors and awards to some of their big-name guests.
Oh, wow. Very good. Very good.
Doing that for about 20 years.
Very good.
For Lauderdale.
I do know there's a quick little teaser on YouTube, and if they type in Just the Cigar movie, they can get to that little teaser, that little trailer.
Yeah, I decided not to use any of the actual clips because, I didn't want to give them away.
Right.
Ahead of time. And, B, you know, YouTube's kind of funny about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the footage I used in that trailer is all public domain.
Yeah.
So they get a little antsy about anything else.
Yeah, I like when you go to a YouTube video and it says not available in your country.
Right. Or we have taken this video down.
Right,
you know,
right.
This video has been removed or something like that. Sure.
Well, if anybody's interested in any of your other work, is there a website or a site online they could go to?
Well, I've got a YouTube channel. Has a lot of it. If you go to YouTube and you enter GK Smith 07 or GK Smith 07.
Uh-huh.
It'll pull up my YouTube channel, and it'll have a lot of my work for various festivals. And when I'm not doing stuff like this, I'm doing corporate corporate videos in Dallas area, corporate educational, promotional, marketing type stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Quite a bit of it on my YouTube site. So, yeah, I'd be happy for people to see it.
All right. Very cool. Well, listen, pleasure talking to you. Hopefully, I'll get to see you when you do get in. We're pretty much, we don't hit the festival every day, but we're kind of like White on Rice as a sponsor. So look forward to meeting you in person. And I'm hoping to get emails and phone calls from our listeners who actually go and see Just the Cigar on either November 8th or November 10th. And remember, you can go to Fliff, FLIFF.com, check out the whole schedule, purchase your tickets, see what parties and galas are going on. And, Gordon, a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you in South Florida.
I'm looking forward to it, sir. Thanks a lot.
All right. You take care. Have a good day. Travel safely.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, that was Gordon Smith, the director of Just the Cigar. Showing you how the writers and the filmmakers back in the 30s through the 60s got around the censorship, the sexual censorship with innuendos and body language. You're listening to Peter's Living Room here on the World Entertainment and Information Network. I thank you for listening as always. You are listening to the World Entertainment and Information Network, WEINetwork.com. Recognized as one of the leaders in the emerging world of internet radio, we are a global, multimedia network bringing you the best in talk, entertainment, and community broadcasting, reaching all corners of the world. The WEI Network broadcasts around the clock 7 days a week and can be heard on your computer, your smartphone, and now your automobile. Make sure to sign up on Facebook.com/the WEI Network and sign up for giveaways and prizes by texting WEI Events to 96,000. The World Entertainment and Information Network is here to inform and entertain you. WEINetwork.com. And as stated, we have with us our guest in his directorial debut. We've got Frank Hall Green, the director of Wildlike. How are you, Frank?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Peter.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. I got to see most of your movie, and, you know, I think I mentioned to you before, wow, the cinematography. You're in Alaska, right?
Yes.
Wow. And, of course, the first thing that popped to my mind was, smart guy, he didn't do it in the winter.
Yeah, that would have been a tough one. It would have been an interesting shoot. It would have looked a lot different, too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I want everybody to know Frank has a movie that will be screening at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. It's called Wildlike, and it's pretty much a, I guess, a drama. Yeah, I guess it would be the right genre for it, right?
Yeah, it's a drama, but it definitely has, you know, a pretty strong line of suspense and some thriller elements.
I mean, right.
A lot of people say that they're very uncomfortable for the first 20 or so minutes of the film, and then they're sort of on edge and anxious and held in some sort of suspense. But it is a quiet film, and it's about, you know, ultimately about relationships and healing and being out in nature.
Right. Well, you know, we want to give our listeners a little taste of the storyline. We don't want to give
importancing,
no right, no ending and no
yeah.
importance scenes away.
Yeah, absolutely, no problem.
But, and I'll let you...
The story is really about a young girl named Mackenzie. She's 14 years old, and she's sent to live with her uncle in Juneau, Alaska, from Seattle. And the relationship turns, and she feels she has to run away. Unfortunately, she runs away right into Juneau, which is locked by both sea and mountains. It's a really difficult city to get in and out of, and she ends up meeting and following and shadowing this older widowed backpacker played by Bruce Greenwood. And together they sort of make their way up into Alaska, and eventually he helps her get back to Seattle in a sense.
Right. Yeah, and it is really the story of their experiences and actually connecting the relationship that or bonding. I guess bonding would be a good word.
Is he like a father figure to her in it, even though he doesn't play the father? Is he fatherly?
Yeah, it's sort of like that. I mean, he's quite resistant.
He's a loner.
A companion.
Uh-huh. He's basically a loner, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's retracing a trip that he did with his wife many times, but now by himself, and that's a difficult trip for him, and he really doesn't want to involve himself, one, for legal reasons, and two, just for his own personal emotional reasons with what's going on with this girl. And he doesn't know, he doesn't care to know until it gets to a point where it's just the right thing to do to figure out what's going on.
Right. Now Bruce Greenwood, he may not be a household name, but if you see a picture of him, when you see him on screen, you know who he is.
Yes.
You've seen?
Yeah, he's been in, you know, dozens and dozens of films. He's been in the business for a very, very long time.
Right.
And he's very recognizable in face, and people love him, especially in this film, and I can tell you he's also a great guy. He's also a very funny comedian and a talented singer and musician. So he's quite a talent, and people in the industry know him very, very well. But, yeah, he doesn't have as necessarily the name recognition that some other actors might, but we really like having him in the film. We feel like he's the best.
How did you find him?
You know, we found him through a casting process. Ella Purnell, who plays Mackenzie and does a fabulous turn of carrying the movie for, she was 15 when she made the movie. She came on very, very early, like a year and a half early, and she's actually British. So that's another extraordinary thing is that she plays this American teenager.
Yeah.
But Bruce came in maybe when we were weeks, maybe more than a month away from shooting, and we had gone through some people that we were thinking of, and Bruce had been on the list for a long time, and I realized that I had not reconsidered the fact that Bruce had got his start with the Adam Egoyan Canadian films, which are really sort of beautiful art films that I really respect and actually were films that I had referenced when looking at putting together Wildlike. And he had recently done a picture with a director named Kelly Reichert called Meek's Cutoff, which is also a beautiful outdoor independent film. And so we sort of jumped on it, and Bruce really liked the script. I think he responded to what we were trying to do in terms of the style and tone and what was on the page, and he called, and we had a long conversation, and it was really a terrific collaborative conversation that turned into a nice collaborative relationship.
You know, when you get an actor that's offered a role that's something that they enjoy doing in life in mm-hmm. general, like being out in the wilderness or, you know, being in the woods, whatever, it just enhances the role. As good as an actor as they are, putting them in a favorable environment just enhances the quality and the real.
Yeah. John Wayne on a horse.
Yeah. And cool. It sounds like you guys had a good time making this too.
We did. We had a great time. We were a relatively small crew as feature films go, and we were the base producers and I were there for about 3 months, and the rest of the crew was there for about 6 weeks, depending on who you were.
Yeah.
And we shot for 31 shooting days over 5 weeks, and we covered 3,000 miles of Alaska altogether. So we were a big caravan and a big family kind of moving around, and there was a lot of time spent on the road and a lot of work hours. But we had a great time doing it, and we were in a beautiful setting, so I think people did have a blast. And one of the prerequisites for coming on the crew was that you had to really want to come to Alaska and trek around with us.
With all that wilderness, did you run into wild animals?
We did all the time. I mean, it started when we were in Anchorage and we saw a moose down at the bank, maybe making a deposit, I don't know. And then the next morning I ran into one when I was going on a morning hike.
Wait a minute. If a moose was making a deposit, you would know.
Yeah, no. But
down at the bank.
Literally, you will see animals just come right into the city of Anchorage.
Yeah.
Not an uncommon sight.
Wow.
And on a morning hike. In town.
What was that TV show that used to take place there?
Then when we headed out of the city and went through Denali, and we scouted through Denali several times, we saw, grizzly bears, black bears, wolves, coyotes.
Do you ever feel in danger?
Lots of doll sheep, which are like mountain goats, and everything else you can imagine, caribou.
Wow.
Did you ever feel like you were in danger with any of the animals?
We never felt like we were in danger, but we did have to stop shooting twice because of bears. The policy is that if an animal senses you, even if it's from quite a distance, like a quarter mile, then the rangers really want you to move away.
Yeah.
And so the set got shut down a couple of times by some bear families just kind of wandering into the area.
Mama bear, papa bear, and baby bear. All right.
Exactly.
Oh, very good. Now, I know you're a graduate of NYU, right?
Yes, film school.
Of the film school. And now you cut your teeth basically on shorts. Is that what you started out with?
Yeah, that's basically, how it works through, I think, most film programs, whether they're graduate programs or undergraduate programs.
Yeah.
In NYU, their particular style is sort of, most of the people that are in the program are there to be writer-directors and auteurs, so to speak. And then you work on each other's films. And I ended up working on a lot of people's films. I also ended up working on a lot of films as a producer because I had sort of a business background and a startup background and going into it. So a lot of my work from that time even to now is as a producer, and I was a line producer and used to do some production management. So that helps as a director and writer to sort of know what's going on the set and, you know, in the big picture and from a business standpoint.
Right. Well, I was going to add, you know, that's where I was actually leading about being a producer. You did an award-winning show with John Leguizamo, right?
Yeah, we just did that. That was great. John's a really great guy and super nice. And he's got a fabulous show that's very personal, and it's quite a moving show. I had not spent a lot of time following his theater career, and it's really terrific. I recommend people check it out.
Very cool. So, what days is Wild Like screening at the festival?
We are screening Saturday night and Sunday night, two great slots.
Yes.
I think one's 7 p.m. and the other one is 8 p.m.
So that would be November 8th.
And I'm going to be there to introduce the film and do a Q&A afterwards.
Oh, very good. Oh.
Yes.
Very good. Now, I know you did have it in, you know, I should have written this down, but I know you were in a couple of other festivals that it got acclaimed. It got great reviews.
Yes, we've had, I would say, stellar reviews so far of the movie. We premiered at Hamptons, then we went to Woodstock, and I'm actually here in Austin now where we've just played. And tomorrow I go to Memphis, and then I go to Savannah, and then we're at about 12 other festivals, including Fort Lauderdale, for the rest of 2014, and more to come in 2015, and then we're also working on selling the picture and getting it out there distribution-wise.
That's the easy part, getting distribution.
Yeah,
piece of
no
cake.
Problem.
Are you married with kids
but
or anything?
Yeah, people seem to love the film, so we have, we really want to get it out there because we think people do really love it once they see it.
Yeah.
Do you drag, like, a wife and kids around the country or anything? Or
sort of kind? I am away from a one-year-old girl and a three-year-old girl with my wife back in New York.
Aww.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate.
Part of the deal.
We'll see them soon next week.
All right, very good. Well, you know what? I appreciate that you spent some time with us. I look forward to meeting you. We're actually broadcasting live from Cinema Paradiso on the 8th.
Perfect.
So hopefully we will get to see you face-to-face.
I would love to.
On the 8th, definitely. And needless to say, I wish you great success with this film. When I said the cinematography, I mean the acting is fabulous. But when you get, you get Alaska. I mean,
it becomes its own star.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot of the film in and of itself is great, but then once you put it inside of Alaska and then it elevates it even more. So it's a nice combination of positive elements.
All right. Now, before we go, who wrote the screenplay?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, you're from New York, or you're just living in New York now?
I'm from Atlanta originally.
Okay, Atlanta.
I've been in Manhattan for a long time now, yeah.
Okay. How did you come up with the location of writing a story about Alaska?
Well, you know,
could have been the Rockies,
I'm an avid backpacker, and so, I kind of go to backpacking destinations, and my wife and I took a trip in 2003 to Alaska, and we backpacked through Denali, sort of similar to the way that the characters in the movie do, and for about 8 days, and I sort of fell in love with the state as a sort of very interesting frontier, removed place, obviously a place of great beauty and vast expanse, and also a lot of sort of interesting characters and, as you move around the state.
Yeah.
And it locked into me as a backdrop for a story.
Could you see Russia from there?
I'm sorry?
Could you see Russia from there?
Almost. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I have to look again. Maybe some of the other crew saw it.
I think what Audrey wanted to know is, does Sarah Palin have a cameo in the movie?
I will tell you that we went through Wasilla. It's north of Anchorage. It's sort of a suburb of Anchorage. And it's not my favorite place in Alaska. There are a lot of really beautiful towns there. And Wasilla has a lot to offer, but it's not for me.
Okay. All right. Well,
crew and people would agree with that.
Interesting.
But, so it was just the right backdrop for the movie. And when I decided I wanted to tell the story of the sort of social issue that, that the young girl goes through and put that out to an audience and really create a story of someone who is running out into nature and using that as a way to not only escape, but it becomes a place of the beginning of healing from a very traumatic
right.
experience. It just seems so obvious that putting her up there in Alaska, you know, facing that challenge of where to go and you know, showing someone so small in such a vast world would just echo and exacerbate the situation.
All right, cool.
And it was, you know, it all sort of came together that way.
All right, very good. Well, needless to say, travel safely. Good luck with all the other festivals.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you down in Fort Lauderdale.
I look forward to seeing you, too.
Do you have any advice for me real quick? I'm a writer also. Screenwriter.
Did you say, do I have any advice?
Yeah.
Write every day.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Just keep on writing.
Keep on writing. Yeah.
All right, Frank. Thank you.
All right.
Look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks very much.
Good
luck. All right. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
The WEI Network is the world's entertainment and information network. Talk radio and entertainment from prominent individuals and business owners, as well as national and local celebrities, plus live interviews and broadcasting of events. Do you need a marketing and promotions for your next business or organization? Contact the WEI Network at 561-290-4597 or email us at inquiries@weinetwork.com.
Business in the western communities of Palm Beach County, you should check out the Western Business Alliance. The Alliance is committed to strengthening and supporting their members through economic growth, education, and community awareness. The purpose of the Alliance is to create a social environment where business people can enjoy getting to know each other in a relaxed atmosphere. They provide the tools through educational programs to help their members grow and prosper. They foster strategic alliances within the membership and offer positive, stress-free, welcoming, flexible organizational environment. While you're online, check them out at thewesternbusinessalliance.com.
Hi, this is Peter from Peter's Living Room. I can be heard right here on the WEI Network every Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Interviews and live performances by singers, bands, comedians, thespians, and more. Local, national, and international celebrities join me for an hour of entertaining you. Like us on Facebook.com/Peter's Living Room Radio and Event Entertainment. Log on to WEINetwork.com at 7 p.m. Monday through Thursdays and hear the Ed Sullivan of radio bringing entertainment to you straight from Peter's living room.
Hi, I'm Pete.
I'm Eggplant.
And I'm...
We are the Peas in the Pod.
Listen to us every Tuesday, 1 o'clock, here on WEI Network. Hi there, everybody. Peter from Peter's Living Room. And, you know, we all watch the Super Bowl because of the commercials. We're infatuated with the creativity that some of these commercials air. Well, there have been a lot of bonehead ads throughout time, you know, and businesses, they just spend billions of bucks on ads every year. Some of them do actually backfire. Here are a few amusing examples. Translating U.S. ad slogans into another language doesn't always work out. In China, Coca-Cola ads use Chinese symbols to sound out Coca-Cola phonetically. The soda company withdrew the ad after learning the symbols co, ka, ko, la meant bite the wax tadpole. I think that's pretty funny. You know, in Brazil, an American airline advertised that the planes had rendezvous lounges, not realizing that in Portuguese, rendezvous means a place to have sex. I want to go on one of those flights. in Taiwan, according to a book called The Want Makers. Pepsi's Come Alive with the Pepsi Generation was reportedly translated on billboards as Pepsi Brings Your Ancestors Back from the Dead. Love that one. I bet you some of the mediums out there that speak to the dead would really enjoy that one. Well, in French Canada, Hunt Wesson attempted to use its Big John brand name by translating it into French as Gros Jos, a colloquial French phrase that didn't